great-grandmother's day and great-great-grandmother's day, if that's possible this morning. Is anybody here a great-great-grandmother? Nobody? Well, happy Mother's Day to you. I'm glad you chose to take part out of your Mother's Day to be here with us. And is there any first-time visitors here this morning? It's good to see Brother Jeff Lankford and his wife visiting with us this morning. You be very sure when service is over that you shake their hand. We'd love to see them come back again, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Amen. Brother Glenn sort of suffering this morning with his allergies. Me and him both are allergy sufferers. And I'm having trouble talking about it. He's having a whole lot of trouble breathing this morning and snorting. And I'm having trouble seeing, so I made me some real big notes this morning. So I can't see very far in front of me. I started this morning just pull over and let my wife drive. And so I put her life at risk this morning, which I do that any day. But I can't see very far this morning. So all of you look beautiful this morning. You're dressed so well and your hair's neat. And if the light bothers you off of my head, you just holler and one of the guys, they'll get up and turn the light down. Brother Glenn and Joshua this morning, he was speaking of the Canaanites. And I want us to just stay on that this morning. He's suffering from allergies and teaching about the Canaanites. And I want us to just continue on this morning talking about the Canaanites. So if you will, turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And if you would like to, you don't have to. Secondly, put your finger maybe in Deuteronomy chapter 7. And we'll look at verses 1 and 2. Let's all stand together for the reading of God's Word. We'll be reading from Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And if you remember, this city of Sidon was where Jezebel came from. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Ain't you thankful for that this morning? That's where me and you're at, my friend. We're eating the crumbs that's falling from the master's table. We're grafted in. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that hour. Let's pray. Our Lord, like a mother, you gather your people together. You're gentle with us as a mother is with her children. Lord, despair turns to hope through your sweet goodness. And Lord, through your gentleness, we find comfort in fear. Lord, we thank you this morning for all the mothers that's come this way. And Lord, we want to take just a few moments to look at this mother and how she had a burden for her children. And she left the one she was worshiping, Baal, and come to the right God and asked for the right things and left there in a different manner. And bless us now, Lord, in the next few moments, in Jesus' name, and amen. I'm not one to put titles to messages, but if I was, I would probably entitle this message, Good and Perfect Faith to Great Faith. Good and Perfect Faith to Great Faith. The faith of this Canaanite woman stands out as one of the most unlikely and most impressive stories in all the Bible. The story of the Canaanite woman is found here in Matthew 15, and it's also found in Mark, I believe it's chapter 7, where Mark calls her the Syrophoenician woman. But it's just a short account in Matthew. And much of the lesson from the Canaanite woman comes from the fact that this woman was not Jewish. And Matthew wants us to know this right off in the scriptures that he wrote. The Canaanites were a various group of people. We know that Brother Glenn this morning mentioned. They were actually descendants of Noah, and they lived in the land of Canaan. And today, the places they occupied then are now known as Israel and Palestine and Lebanon and Syria and Jordan. And historically, these Canaanites were enemies of the Jew. And you think of the Israelites fighting wars just to collect the promised land that God blessed them with. This land flowing with milk and honey was this land of Canaan that this woman came from. Now, if you turn to Deuteronomy, if you have it there, if not, I'll read it to you. Deuteronomy 7, 1 and 2. When the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess, and drives out before you many nations, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And he says, seven nations, notice what the Lord says, larger and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you, and you have defeated them, then you must totally destroy them. He said, make no treaty and show them no mercy. Now, people, you think about that just a minute. That's a serious accusation coming from God. And a lot of people today, you know, they put off hell. They think that at the end of life, there's not going to be a hell, much more than a heaven. Read what God said right there to them. You totally, positively destroy them and make show them no mercy. This woman from Cana, she's outstanding because of her qualities and her traits. We see when she came to Jesus in Matthew that she came humble. She came persistent. She came very emotionally intelligent. And she came very trusting. And keep in mind that this woman, she was a worshiper of Baal. And now she's come to the Savior of the world. The first lesson we can learn from the faith of the Canaanite woman has to do with her pride. Sometimes pride, people, can stand in the way of your worship. Pride can stand in the way of your needs. It can stand in the way of your prayer life. And the faith of this Canaanite woman was aroused. It was aroused by the need of her daughter. She desperately needed her daughter to be healed. Do you feel that desperate need in your life today when you pray to God about your children? You look around you today, the shape that this nation's in, as Brother Glenn mentioned in Sunday school, and our schools systems in the shape that they are, and the demonic spirits that our children have to deal with on a daily basis. Sometimes you're in the kitchen cooking supper and you don't stop and think about what your children's on in there on the computer or on their cell phone. But we live in a world, even our government today is full. Amen? It's full of demonic spirits. They're all around us. And one of the first characteristics of this woman, this Canaanite woman, to observe is that she came to Jesus, but she came to Him humbly. Like in the story of Naaman, she didn't have the luxury of sitting on her high horse while death and destruction was knocking at her door. She approached Jesus and she worshiped Him. Remember now, this is a woman who was out of a city of people who worshiped Baal. She came to Him and said, "Lord," this is the imperfectness of her faith. She had faith. She came to the right person, but her faith was imperfect. She said, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy upon me." And unlike the rich young ruler who didn't need anything, this woman was in such a desperate situation that her last hope was in Jesus, and she knew this. And so she came, and when she came to Jesus, she came boldly to Jesus with her request. And then her request, even though she come humbly and come boldly, it was unacknowledged by Jesus. Do you ever feel that way sometimes when you're praying? When you go to God with your prayers, do you seem like God's not listening? Do you seem like sometimes your prayers don't never get answered? It seems like sometimes you pray and you seek God's face, and it seems like your prayers, the old saying is, didn't go through the ceiling. Amen? You with me? Nod your head. You ever felt like that? We've all felt like that. But what did this woman do? When this woman came to Jesus, and she seen that Jesus didn't acknowledge her at all. He just put her off. She took her worship to a higher level. She knelt before Jesus and again asked Him, humbly and completely replacing her pride. I'd ask you this morning, how is your pride? How's your pride this morning? Are you desperate enough when you approach God? Do you put everything aside to truly worship God when you come to Him? When you come to Him in prayer, do you just come asking? Or do you come to Him in a worshiping form before you ask God anything? A lot of times we come to God and we just call on Him and we expect Him to answer all our needs immediately, and we fail to even worship Him at all when we come to Him in prayer. This woman came to Him. She was desperate and she approached God and she put everything aside so she could truly worship Him and then ask Him again. People don't always understand you and your problems. Have you ever noticed that in life? Your burdens sometimes, people don't associate with you about your burdens. They don't seem like they even care. You notice the disciples here, they were annoyed. They were annoyed with the persistence and the presence of this woman. So we can see that the next lesson from this Canaanite woman's story is that people sometimes are untouched with our burdens. But God is never oblivious, is He? He's never oblivious to our situations. The Canaanite woman just wouldn't stop following Jesus. She wouldn't stop following the disciples. She wouldn't stop asking for her daughter to be released from this demonic bondage that she was in. She wasn't asking for herself. She was simply asking for someone else. Do you care about other people's burdens enough that you intercede on their behalf? We do very little, don't we? Your neighbor's kids, much less your own kids, your neighbor's sickness, do you intercede for them? This woman didn't come for herself. She come for her daughter. And Jesus didn't. He did say that His ministry was not to the Gentiles, but for the lost sheep of Israel. So the faith of this Canaanite woman was fueled, we see here, by the burden as a mother that she felt for her child. Is your faith as a mother, is it fueled? Is it fueled for your children? Is it fueled for the children across the street? Is it fueled for your family members that don't know Jesus? The disciples, they couldn't relate to this woman. Because there's nowhere in the Scriptures that you can find where the disciples had any children at all. There's nowhere. So they didn't really know the burden of this woman. They couldn't feel what this woman was feeling in her heart as she cried out to them and cried out to Christ, because they didn't have no children. Think of how they dismissed the children in Mark 10. You remember when the children came to Jesus to sit in His lap? They dismissed them. But this woman come interceding for her daughter. Her love poured out of her heart. But the disciples, they couldn't appreciate this because they had never been in that situation. Soon too in life, if you think about it, people don't always understand the burdens that you might be feeling for a particular situation. Here we see another characteristic of this mother, that her love drove her to intercede on behalf of someone else. No one else may, but God does. God does. God's love for you interceded on your behalf. And His love for you was so great that it sent Jesus Christ all the way to the cross of Calvary. That's how much He loved you. Now you stop and think about that. How much time do you spend with God every day? You know, this book right here that we carry around in our lap every day, you can study that book until you're black in the face and you go blind. You'll only learn from this book about Jesus. You'll only learn from this book about God. You'll not learn of God until you spend time with Him. Me and Brother Jeff was talking a few weeks ago as we spent the night together, as we went to a quarterly meeting. And coming back, we got to talking about prayer and how little the time that people actually spend in prayer. And we both got a good laugh. Brother Jeff looked at me and called me a prophet. But you stop and think, we get up of a morning most times in a hurry to go to work, wherever we're going. And we might say, well, Lord, bless this day. Bless those I meet. May everyone I come in contact to, I have a word for them. Blah, blah, blah. In Jesus' name, amen. It's about the size of it, isn't it? Huh? You still with me? Are you still with me? Nod your head if you're just listening. Feels like I'm in here by myself. And then maybe at lunch, you get to the lunchroom and you pull out your lunch and you might say, Lord, bless this food and help me, Lord. Let it be a nourishment for my body and my body to the service of You. In Jesus' name, amen. We're probably 18 to 20 seconds, ain't we? Think about it. Maybe 18 or 20 seconds we've spent with the Lord. Then you get off from work. You know, and I can't help in my mind but to see Jesus in heaven. Maybe He just walks over, you know, and He's standing there with His arms crossed and He's looking down. And Peter, James, or John, maybe one, walks over there and says, Lord, what you doing? Maybe with a cracked voice and a tear in his eye. He says, I'm watching Jim. Jim? What's Jim doing? He's on the golf course. Yeah, I see that. Man, he's good at that, ain't he? He can hit that ball. Done made three holes. Lord says, yeah. He's good at golf. I give him that. Well, what's wrong? Well, he spent seven seconds with me this morning and about 9 seconds with me at lunch. He's been on the golf course for 2.5 hours, Peter. You see where we're at? Maybe another tear comes to Jesus' eye. Peter may put his arm around him, or James or John or whoever it was. And he said, Lord, he may have hugged him up a little bit. And Jesus says, Peter, you know, I left heaven. I went all the way to earth. Took the awfulest scourging that man has ever seen. And I stretched out my hands on that old wooden cross. And I let him drive those nails into my hand because I love him. And I want to know him. But he spent less than 20 seconds with me today. Hits home, don't it? We wonder why our lives are so full of mess, so full of sin, and so far away from God. We wonder why when we pray that we don't get prayers answered. We've said a prayer, but do you really know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Or do you just know of Him? Do you spend time with Him? Do you say, well, I'm going to play golf with Bill this afternoon. We've got plans to play for 2 hours, but I'm going to cut 30 minutes of that off. And I'm going to go home. I'm going to leave here early, and I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to spend some time with Him. You ladies may say, well, I'm supposed to meet with Janice this afternoon, and we're going to have tea down at the tea room and some Danish. And then we're going to go to Marshall's, Ross's, and Walmart and spend about 3 hours. And Jesus is there watching you, wondering, will you hone out 30 minutes of that time today to give with me? And Jesus, He says plainly in the Word of God, break away from the world and get in your closet alone, pull away and get with me. And Brother Jeff, shut the door. Shut the door. Lock out the world. And get alone with me. Spend time with me. And then you'll know of me and not just about me. Write this down somewhere if you've got a pencil. This will change your life. Write this down somewhere in a piece of paper. Stick it in your Bible. The third lesson we can learn from this woman is God meets you where you're at in your faith. You wonder why you don't have prayers answered. Right there, write that down somewhere in your Bible. God meets me where I am in my faith. It's not the perfectness of your faith. We see that in this woman as she come to Jesus. It's not in the perfectness, it's in the sincerity of your faith. So the next lesson from the Canaanite woman is about the movement in her faith journey and how quickly it happened. This could have been hours. It even could have turned into days. She could have spent the night there crying out for help, someone to help her with her demonic daughter. But I believe it happened very quickly. I believe just within a matter of minutes, she came to Jesus with this imperfect faith. And what He said to her totally changed her in just a matter of minutes into having a perfect faith. faith. When she approached Jesus, she addressed Him, you see, as the Son of David. You'd think, well, she's addressing Him highly. That was simply just a political statement in that day, wasn't it, for Jesus to call Him the Son of David? She probably saw Jesus maybe as some kind of magician, because there was a lot of stories going on at this time about Him doing these miracles. And some people were calling Him a great magician. And maybe she seen Him that way and not as the miracle-working God. This Canaanite woman was said to be a Greek. She didn't hold to the same religious beliefs as the Jews. Yet in all of Scripture, this woman is one of the only people who were complimented by Jesus to having this level of faith. There was one other, if you remember, was similar to it. It was the centurion soldier. But people like her, they didn't have the luxury, as you do this morning, to go to church. In fact, they were not even allowed to go into the synagogue and to hear the Torah read on the Sabbath day. Yet this woman's faith exceeded that of the Jews that went to church and opened the Word and studied the Word. And these people, the Jews, looked down on the Gentiles. It's interesting, although, the Jews knew the prophecy about Jesus' coming. But yet so many of them didn't recognize Jesus when He did come, did they? What the Jews took for granted, you might say, this Canaanite woman did not. But by the time she finished interacting with Jesus, the faith of this Canaanite woman had grown from imperfect faith to perfect, great faith. Initially, she called Him Son of David. At the end of their conversation, she called Him Lord. Jesus talked with her. The little talk He had with her, it helped her to see Him more than just a magician. Is your faith growing as you're walking with God and as you're interceding with Him? You know, sometimes God will throw things into your path to get you to notice Him. Sometimes it's not pretty. Sometimes it can be bad things. He will test your courage and He will test your faith. The fourth lesson we can learn from this Canaanite woman is that God sometimes throws these things into your path. Jesus tried to discourage the faith of this Canaanite woman, and He had the most confusing response to her request. Can you see it there, what He'd done? Our Lord and Savior looked at this poor Canaanite woman that came to Him with a desperate need. Her daughter was possessed of a demonic spirit. Jesus called her a dog. You believe that? Jesus called her a dog. The term that He used, though, was different from the term that the Jews used. When the Jews called the Gentiles dogs, they meant the worst kind of street dog that rummaged through the garbage. They meant a starving and sickly dog. Plus, dogs to the Jews were considered unclean. But the term Jesus used referred to a domestic dog. Although the Jews meant this title to be an insult, Jesus softened His address to her. I don't know this for sure. None of us do, but maybe He said it with a small smile. Maybe He said it in a loving, kind way, taking the sting out of it, replacing it maybe even with a hint of righteous playfulness. But this Canaanite woman, she was quick-witted. She was quick-witted, and her response to Jesus was kind. She swallowed her pride and accepts her position in the Jewish society as being a dog. Because she comes right back at Jesus and says, "Even the dogs, O Lord, eat crumbs."
Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. One of the characteristics of the Canaanite woman, which allowed her to access her blessing, was that she had a maturity about her emotions. She could have received Jesus' word and that insult that he gave her and stormed away. But she didn't. She recognized Jesus' tone of voice and maybe his facial expression, and she knew exactly what Jesus meant. Another lesson from the Canaanite woman is that she wasn't distracted by what the Jews said about her. But she came to Jesus on business. And she was not allowing herself to be discouraged in any way. Sometimes God, as we've already said, He'll test you. He'll test your sense of need. But this woman here, when she was tested, she emerged victorious. How would you fare this morning in this situation? Would you walk away feeling damaged in heart? Or would you proceed on the behalf of your daughter? Would you swallow whatever was thrown at you just to get your need? And fifthly, if we learn nothing else from this story, learn this. This woman never, ever gave up. She didn't stop praying. No matter what was thrown at her and what she was called, no matter how she was looked down at and the discouraging words that came at her, she was like Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray and pray without ceasing. And God pays attention to the prayers that don't stop coming. We pray sometimes, just a time or two, and we give up. God's listening. He's watching you to see how strengthened your faith is really, how it really is. This woman's faith was imperfect, but the faith of this Canaanite woman was less superstitious than the woman with the issue of blood, wasn't it? The woman with the issue of blood thought that her faith would actually be activated when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. She was Jewish, and there was evidence of that in the Bible to prove that of her, that she was Jewish, and that supported her faith as being a Jew. But the Canaanite woman believed Jesus could heal her daughter without any physical contact at all if Jesus would just say the word. She believed in the power to say the word and the miracle would be done. So she didn't stop asking. When the disciple tried to get Jesus to send her away, she didn't stop asking. She didn't stop striving. When it seemed like Jesus was trying to insult her, she moved even closer. And it says she worshiped. It doesn't say she knelt. But in those days, if you worship, you knelt. And I believe that's what this woman done. She knelt before God. And Jesus honored her persistent prayer of faith. Is there something that you're tired of praying about? Is there something that you've been praying for a long time? I can't promise you that your breakthrough is near. But I can promise you one thing from the Word of God, and that's never, ever, never give up. Even when it comes to the point to where you feel like your prayers are going unanswered and you feel like God's not even listening to you. And as the old saying is, you feel like they're not even going through the ceiling. Don't give up. Be persistent in your prayers. And in conclusion, the lesson we can learn from the Canaanite woman has to do with being first humble. It has to do with putting away our pride. It has to do with remaining persistent in faith, no matter what others think. And finally, that God is in the business of not just answering prayer. God is in the business of growing our faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord.